Okay, Sarmad, would you like to go ahead with the call?
Sure. Thank you, Fahad.
Thank you, Sarmad.
So this is, I think we should probably start with by listing the people on the call so far. We have Fahad Abdul Rahman, Kyle, and Michael Sarmad. Anybody else on the call? Okay, so I think let's get going. You'll have to excuse me, I have a sore throat. So, in any case, so I just circulated an agenda, and I apologize for the last-minute thing, but basically it's in continuation of our email discussion. I thought we will take this opportunity to discuss further what has already been shared on email, see if we can start converging our discussion, and also then perhaps see how long we, you know, what are the next steps we need to take before we can converge the document and circulate it to the larger committee for finalization. Anybody has any other agenda item to propose at this time?
Excuse me?
Yes.
Dr. Sarmad, there is some echo in your voice. It's hard for me to catch your words.
Is this better?
Huh?
Is this better or is this still a bad connection?
No, it's better.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Okay, so, Sarmad, can you please interrupt you for a second here?
Sure, please.
Okay, so may I suggest everybody not talking into the call to just mute their lines, please? I think that would improve the quality. Thank you. Over to you, Sarmad, please.
Okay. All right, so we've started some discussion around what are the principles as far as inclusion or exclusion and deferral of code points is concerned. Let's start with the first point, which was inclusion of code points. And we've actually had various discussions, many different suggestions. The discussion for inclusion basically started by saying that we should consult with language authorities and confirm letters, and then there has been some discussion on whether that is the only way of including characters. Eventually, one of the things which I suggested in my mails was that as far as the inclusion is concerned, well, I think the final status, based on feedback by others as well, is that we would say that a character is included if it is actively used in language at this time, as confirmed by one of the many different sources which are possible. They include the expert, somebody inside the current team. It could include a language authority, it could include an outside expert, or it could include an online media source or public source or a mixture of those. Not a single source, but multiple public sources. And one more condition is that it's not about somebody just saying it. Whoever is suggesting something like this must submit documented evidence for that particular character. So what we are saying is that any of these sources is bona fide, and we do not need to confirm everything from language authorities. One of the reasons for that is that it's not an assurance that there is a language authority for every possible language. Basically, some of these initiatives are community-based, so there are no formal methods to actually do this in many cases. And then the second issue is that if we go to land authorities for everything, we may not get our responses in time, and so we end up spending a lot of time doing this without making any significant progress. And I leave at that and request everybody on the call to comment on what I just said and add more to it. So over to any of you who would like to comment.
I'm sorry, this is Nika Mumin. Can I just step in for 1 second? I'm really having trouble following the conversation because of the low audio quality. Is there anything which can be done about this? Because I already turned my volume on the telephone up the loudest possible, and I'm muting my line. And I think everybody else is muting his or her line as well. Sorry about that.
Fahad, is it possible for you to request the operator to dial out to me again?
Okay, I'll do that. Excuse me, Greg. Are you
there?
Yes,
I'm here.
So Sarmad will be disjoining the call. Can you please dial him out again? If you can use a more clear line, please.
Certainly, I'll try that for you.
Thank you so much.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Sarmad. We can hear you.
Yeah, is this any better?
We hope so.
Michael, can you hear me better now?
Yes, you're much louder than before.
Okay, great. So I just summarized the inclusion discussion we've had. Basically, we said very briefly again that we will include all letters which are active in active use as evidenced by one of the four different sources we discussed, but with documentary evidence. So are there any comments on that so far?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please go ahead.
For the inclusion in the collectors, is it in the secret level or its language level?
The inclusion of characters is at script level. It's a script repertoire, so it is a script level inclusion as listed in Unicode.
So it will be all the possible supported characters in the Arabic script?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we will consider all the possible code points in the Arabic script tables within the Unicode, and we have to make a decision for each one of them. So code points either which are letters or which are used to form letters should be included. That is the inclusion principle so far. And I should recognize Rinalia's comment that we should talk in terms of code points and not letters, perhaps, as a unit. Go ahead, please.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, please.
What is the definition of letter in our case?
So this is something we may want to define, but I guess loosely what we are saying is letter is something, so it's part of the, I would guess we are saying something which has rasm and a couple of ijam with it. One, the rasm combination of rasm and ijam.
Okay.
but it excludes anything which is optional. Any more comments? Fahad?
Yes, Michael, I would like to comment.
Yes, please go ahead.
Please make a moment. Could I please comment?
Yes, please go ahead. Can you hear us?
Sorry, I didn't hear. I was just saying that the question which was just put up front now, what's the definition of a letter in our context is precisely what some of these questions hinges upon from a linguistic point of view. I'm not sure there is no salient definition of what is a letter and what is not across scripts and across languages and across photographies, really. So we really need to figure out exactly how we perceive some of those. For Arabic orthography, for writing Arabic language, optional signs that would might be obligatory or not for other things, like the harakat, like the hamza, and such things. So we really need to come up with clear rules somehow, and I think this will be the major difficulty. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. One request to everybody who speaks, and this is Sarmad, is to identify yourself so that we can eventually the person who is listening to the audio recording can associate the comments with the right person. I think that is an excellent point from both of you, and I think one of the first things we should work on is very clearly defining what different kinds of graphemes we have and how would we define a letter as maybe a grapheme or a combination of graphemes indicated by different code points. So that is something we definitely should work on. Any more comments? So are you, those of you who are on the call, comfortable with basically once we define the letter, comfortable with the principle that those letters which we can confirm that they are in use by a language using Arabic script, should be included. Is that a sufficient inclusion principle, or are there any other inclusion principles which we should consider?
Please make a moment. I would like to comment again.
Yes, please go ahead, Michael.
As I understood, you were now asking whether it's sufficient as a criterion to ask whether or not a letter is used by any given orthography using Arabic script in a language. The point is, I think we need to define in this context what means is used or not, because
I think we lost Michael. Michael, are you still there?
I think Michael got dropped. Excuse me, Grace, are you on the call?
Yes, I'm going to reconnect Mr. Moment for you. And also, Ahmad Masood, his line is not very clear, actually, but he's actually connected now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You.
Hello, Mike. Is this Ahmed?
Yeah, this is Ahmed, sir. How are you, sir?
All right, great. We're waiting for... Welcome to the call. We're waiting for Michael. He was making a comment, but his line dropped, so we're waiting for him to reconnect.
Okay.
So while we are waiting for Michael, Abdul Rahman and Ahmed, do you have any comments as far as inclusion principle is concerned?
No.
Okay.
No. From me, I agree with the proposal you and Michael have launched in the emails.
Okay, great. So I think it's still taking Michael some time. So let's, I think we move on, and once Michael is back on board, we can revert back to this discussion.
Mr. Buckley is now reconnected.
Oh, okay, great. Michael, can you hear us?
Yes, I just got disconnected. Could you tell me what was the last thing you heard me say?
You said that you had a comment to make, so let's start from there.
Ah, okay. Okay, well, basically I was just trying to point out that you were saying, I think, that we take a character to be part of the permitted characters in the zone, so a code point, if we have established use for a language. And I was trying to point out that it was difficult, or we need to come up with the definition for what is a valid use of Arabic script for a language, because it ranges from one person to 20 million persons. And There are differences, there are individual differences in the use of the script. There are differences in between, there's a major written or rather only a reading tradition. For example, there are few people who write and many people who read and that is consume text, which mostly has to do with the unofficial status of the script in some parts of the world. In my case, the ones I'm familiar with more would be Africa. So I think we need to have a definition of what is the threshold of what is valid language use, shall we say, valid script use. Thanks.
Okay, so any more comments on Michael's comment?
I agree with Mikhail about his comment that the letter, the meaning of the letter is different from language to other. So basically you need at least to know what is the usage for that in that community or culture. So that will define it, what is the need for that before make it inclusion or exclusion.
Okay. Any more comments? So what we have so far is that we're saying that we need to define what a letter is in the context of Arabic script. And we also need to define what a valid use of a letter is for it to be valid for inclusion in LGR, as the definition of use may differ from community to community or region to region. Does this capture what you said, Michael, reasonably completely?
Yes, we need to define precisely what a letter is for our purposes, and we need to define what is the valid use of Arabic script for a given language. Is it enough if we only have hearsay that five people are using this writing system, or do we need 1,000 or 10,000 or 1 million or 20 million, for example?
Okay. So,
hello, everybody. I am Tariq Mirgani. Sorry, I just connected now in the connection. Okay, go on. I am now with you.
Okay, great. Welcome, Tariq. Okay, so Michael, I have a question back on your comment. And so first of all, I agree with both your points, and I think they're very valid. I have a specific comment on the valid use. You are suggesting valid use to mean to say just what is the number of people using the character. Is that the only dimension we need to look at as far as valid use is concerned, or are there any other dimensions we also need to look at? For example, whether it is used meaningfully in the language or for decorative purposes or things like that, or is that something which goes into the definition of the letter itself?
Thank you. I think, first of all, the quantity of the users is a factor. So how many users can we assume that there are? Because we're always talking about assuming. We don't have clear figures. And secondly, how much stability is there in the orthography? That is, let's say they use dal with, I don't know, 3 points above. But some people also use a dal with 2 points above, and some other people use a dal with 2 points below. So there is individual variation sometimes for the same language in spelling one sound or the other. So it is difficult to establish what is the standard way and what is the exception in some of these orthographies. I don't know if you have the same issue, for example, in your region. And those are the two factors I think we need to consider for the question, what is the valid use of Arabic script for our purposes? Thank you.
So I'm capturing your comment here. Just give me a second. So I also, I think that's a very valid reason as well, and I would like to endorse that we have some similar issues, for example, in at least one language I know in our community, communities in Pakistan, where there are two or three different, in a way, groups of people or individuals who are promoting a particular way of writing a sound for the language, and there is no community agreement on which is the valid or consistent way of writing that particular sound. So what I have captured is, as an additional rule, that for something to be included, it should be consistently used in the language and accepted by the community, and it should not have variance in a way that people are not agreeing completely that that letter actually should be is part of that language.
Yes, I agree with your statements and with your solution of dealing with this issue. The point is only that we do not always have people from a community to give direct input to us and say, yes, this is a valid way of use, or this is not a valid way of use. But sometimes we only have, hearsay, so to say.
Right, so could we then add
accurate and current information?
Right, thank you. Could we then use this as a principle for deferring decision, that where we have a character which is inconsistently used, or multiple characters which are inconsistently used as, I guess, allographs or whatever you want to call them, then they are candidates for deferral unless one of them actually is confirmed for use within the language by the community.
That's precisely the question. I don't know. I'm not sure if allographs, as you call them now, should be considered candidates for inclusion in the standard, but that would widen the repertoire, which are permitted characters widely, I think, or whether such varieties, for example, should be what you have called, I think, deferred. And this, I think, hinges on technical questions again, which I'm not able to answer. So, for example, of root zone security and safety, as you discussed. Thank you.
Right. So this is one of the points that we will raise on the email list. We are not going to close this discussion at this time. What I am trying to do is trying to bring out all the possibilities, and then once we note these possibilities down, and then we can take it back to the list, give everybody time to think, and then we start collating these possibilities into a cohesive document. Okay. Any further comments
One second.
Conclusion? Yes, go ahead,
please. Could we focus more, at least in this meeting, to define what is letter, so we can know later when we discuss in the email what are the characters we are going to focus on. Like, is it the letter, is it the digits, or the characters, or the non-spacing marks, or so on?
Okay, so I can at least refer to how the letter is used in the ASCII context, where it refers to the code points for capital A all the way to capital Z, and small a all the way to small z or z, and everything else is not a letter. So digits are not considered letters. The punctuation marks are not considered letters. Another thing I would want to refer you to is what are called Unicode character or code point properties. What I'll do is I'll circulate a URL which refers to the Unicode character properties. And Unicode also, as one of its properties, defines whether a code point is a letter or not. But in addition to defining something as a letter, Unicode also defines code points in other forms, for example, as combining marks, as punctuation marks, and many other forms. So I think that would be a starting point of our discussion, but I think we probably all need to go back, do some homework, look at how Unicode is defining things, and maybe come up with a working definition of what we think a letter should be.
Okay.
Would that be a good way forward?
Excuse me, Parik.
Yes.
I just want to focus on something. I thought our meeting is to discuss on the tools we will use to include or exclude or differ Unicode's characters. Not to discuss the characters themselves. I think it's now we want to put those principles, and we will use these principles to for each character by character to say those are the standard character, or those are included, those are excluded, those are different. Is that right?
Right. So at this time, we are discussing about the principles. We want to clarify the principles on which we will eventually base our character level discussion, but we are not doing the character level discussion at this point.
Yeah. Principles. In the mailing list, I was talking about contacting authorities in the country. I know it's difficult, but I think it must be the main principle, the first principle, to include characters in the list, because it gives the confirmation from an authoritative party or identity, even in one country, that means it's included.
The only challenge with that is, this is Sarmad, the only challenge with that is that there are many, many languages, especially in Pakistan, for example, for which we have no formal bodies to ask for confirmation. But we have communities and we have experts who can actually confirm these things. So unless we explore alternative resources for confirmation, language communities alone cannot suffice. And let me also reiterate here that confirmation from language communities is not, for example, the only criteria for encoding characters even in Unicode. Though if there is confirmation from language authorities, obviously that adds a lot of weight to a proposal.
Okay, but is there any other bodies?
Can you, when you want to speak, I think what you should do is request to get in the queue, and then I'll just call everybody one by one just to make sure that we don't speak over each other. So who would like to go?
Yeah. Okay, I think we have to add others, not just the authority, main authority. There is others, something like you talk about community. If in some places there is no language authority office or something like that, there is some types of community or society or something like that, which the language. I think we have to reach those represent the community specialist in language to confirm this. It shouldn't be just an government language authority. It can be even a leader on something.
Exactly, and I think that is what we are probably suggesting. It could be a community representative. It could also be an expert who is working with the community, but not directly part of the community, but somebody who is very directly associated with the language. So I think what we are saying is that as far as we have a documented source which can confirm, and it is a trusted source, it should be okay to include the characters. Are there any more comments on inclusion principles? Okay. Let's then take a quick pass on the exclusion principles. Let me just pull that out. So we've actually had some discussion on the exclusion principles as well, and this is probably also a murky area like the other obviously sections as well. I circulated a reasonably long list on this as well. Let me go through that, and then there have been more comments on it, so I'll invite all of you to make some comments on this area as well. Just to go through this quickly, obviously code points which are disallowed by the protocol are not possible, so that's an exclusion parameter. Anything which is outside the Arabic script code block as defined by Unicode, that is also an exclusion principle. The only two exceptions to those are the zero-word joiners and zero-word non-joiners, and we will have a separate discussion on those at some point. Code points which are deprecated by Unicode standard, that is, the Unicode standard recommends that they no longer be used, are going to be outside the outside our scope for inclusion, or they will be excluded. Code points that are not letters or parts of letters, this is something we need to define what a letter is, but whatever then does not form a letter should then be excluded. Code points which are encoded specifically due to historic use and with no contemporary use, this is perhaps valid. Michael had some comments on it, and so one possibility is that we can say that we need to refine the text around this if we want to keep it, so that we, if something has gone out of use but there is a possibility of it coming back into use, that is not excluded and deferred for the time. So this needs to be tweaked. Code points which are encoded specifically for religious use and not used as letters in writing languages, and then code points which are only for formatting use and not used as letters, and then code points which are present a security and stability issue in the root zone. So there are the zero-bit joiners, zero-bit non-joiner, and some of the other code points may have some implications. Those are the possible exclusion list factors. And so back to all of you to make your comments based on the discussion we've had so far.
Please make a moment. Can I speak?
Yes, please, Michael. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just to take one example, the point number 6, which you mentioned also in your emails, code points which are encoded specifically for religious use and not used as letters in writing languages. What exactly encompasses code points which is there for religious use? So, for example, I gave the case of the so-called watchdog. Is this considered a religious use? Because as I understand, and I'm not an expert here, when you deal with Arabic script that's used for Arabic language, this occurs mostly in Quranic manuscripts, and it indicates the Amala. But if you look at other languages, it might occur as a full letter, for example, representing the vowel E. So the question is, which idea do we follow? Thank you.
Okay. Let's see, if we are looking at specific examples, just a second, let me... So one of the areas which are potential, with the, which potentially fall in this area are range 06D6 onwards. And in the Unicode text, if you look at the Unicode standard, these code points fall inside what are called Quranic annotation signs. So the range goes from 06E6 all the way to 06ED. So these are potential candidates. I'm not saying that they will all be excluded, but I'm saying that if we do not find use in a language, these are potentially excluded. And some of these are not characters, but character combinations.
I think we need some background information on, for example, these character sets, which are considered as such religious signs. Thank you.
Yes, I totally agree. And this is something, again, which we probably need to define more precisely. But I think what the principle says is that if something is established which is clearly for religious use and not for regular writing, if that can be established, then we can exclude it. If there is ambiguity, then it should obviously not be excluded and put into a deferred list. Are there any more comments? So what I've noted so far is Michael's comment that we need to define what the religious use is. Is that sufficient to note in the meeting notes, Michael, or would you want to add more to it?
Honestly, I would suggest that after raising the initial points, we just go on with the discussion by email, because sometimes these discussions are difficult to lead by the telephone conversations, because I'm not always following so well. But yes,
okay.
Those are
sure.
Some of the points, for example, I saw.
Okay, sure. Okay, moving onwards, is there anybody else who would want to comment on the exclusion points or the discussion around it?
Question.
Yes.
What about the non-spacing markers like harakat and so on? Are they considered to be included or excluded?
I think as far as the general sentiment is concerned from a security and stability point of view, anything which is optionally used should be excluded.
Is this even with the control and characters?
Same with control characters, that if something is not visible, it should be excluded.
So, like zero with joiner, non-joiner, same, it will be applied on them also?
Yes, that is a very potential possibility. There is a directive from Internet Architecture Board which suggests that these characters like zero-weight joiners and zero-weight non-joiners should be looked at very carefully because they present security and stability threat to the zone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's clear now.
Yeah, hello. I'm Tariq again.
Yes.
I think we have included the IDN tables already published on the IANA. Maybe you can find that many of the countries, they already published IDN table. I not exclude something which already used in IDN table. So we have to include them or at least we cannot exclude any of the, even if it's Harakat or something. I noticed some in the Saudi IDN that they use many different of Hamza there. I cannot exclude any of them as they are already used. What do you think, Aida?
Yes, but we are talking at the root level, excuse me. So this is different.
Okay.
So this is, yes, so to reiterate, I think we are talking about a different zone. So when we are talking about the IDN tables which are already published, they are at the second level, which is the CCTLD zone or the GTLD zone. But the current work is on the root level, which is not yet defined. So those tables do not apply to the root zone.
I don't know, but I think if they are included on even not the root level, in the zone level, I think it should be also used on the root level, because it's the same language, same, because you may find in the root level a word that contains maybe from some countries like in Saudi. If these are the characters they are using in the zone levels, they may request in the future GTLD, for example, IDA, using the same characters.
So that actually could definitely be used as a guiding principle, but it cannot be used as a definitive, in a way, it cannot be used as a definitive argument. So what we will do is we will certainly add this as a good source of information for inclusion, but obviously there will be some other constraints which are applicable as well. For example, one issue could be that there are some GTLDs which have enabled the whole of Arabic script, but some of those characters are perhaps so not all of Arabic script, but a large set of Arabic script. But that at the second level, but that argument cannot be convincingly used to include the characters at the root zone because of some security stability arguments. The main difference is that when it is being used in a second level or a third level zone, basically that's not a shared resource anymore. It's a language specific or a TLD specific zone. But when we're talking about the root zone is shared by all the TLDs, and so it's a special zone. It's in that sense, and therefore it has some stricter requirements as far as security and stability concerns are concerned. So the table we are making is going to be used for everybody who applies for a Arabic script TLD. Whereas a table which is used, for example, within a CCTLD is only used by that registry.
Okay, I got it. Okay.
Thank you for that comment, and I think we will add that as a criteria for possible inclusion or possible documentation for a character. Any other comments? Okay. Moving onwards then, the third category was deferral, and Michael made a couple of very good suggestions on that. There are possibilities that some characters have been in use but have gone out of use, but there is a likely chance that they'll come back in use. So those are some categories which can actually be used for deferral arguments. I also suggested that anything we cannot clearly exclude or clearly include should be put into the deferral category. I think that's what we have so far. If you'd like to share any further comments, we can record them. Does any of you have any comments on the deferral section? So, is generally saying that if we cannot clearly include something or clearly exclude something, we can put it into deferral. Is that something which is generally an okay argument for this slot? So, not hearing anything, I think there is probably we are still not sure whether this is a valid argument, and so one obviously what I would request all of you is to think through this more and see how we want to word this category. I also wanted to bring up, as far as exclusion is concerned, Michael suggested that we do not have this category at all. Michael, you want to speak on that as well? Is that what you initially intended? Does this capture what you were suggesting, or did you make a different remark? I'm not sure whether Michael is still on the call.
Yes, I'm here. Did you address me? I couldn't make out what you said. Sorry, could you...
Okay, so... Yes, the question was that in the exclusion, in the context of exclusion, you made a comment, I think you made a comment that the exclusion category should not be included and we should just have inclusion or deferral. Did I understand you correct when you said that? And do you still think that that is a viable option?
Sorry, I really have difficulties now understanding what you are referring to. Could you try to explain? I'm not sure which comment
okay,
you are referring to. You were referring to something
Fahad, if you heard me, could you repeat from your line? Maybe you have a more clear connection with Michael.
Sorry, Sarmad. I was working on something else. Can you please repeat the question?
Right. The question was that Michael I think, commented that we do not need the exclusion category. We can do just with the inclusion and the deferral categories. So I'm asking Michael whether he still thinks that the exclusion category could be scratched and we only revert back to two categories.
You were asking whether exclusion and deferral and inclusion, that is a three-part type distinction, should be kept up, or whether we should reduce it to inclusion and deferral, correct?
Exactly. I thought you made a comment in that direction, so I wanted your feedback on it.
Well, basically, as I understood you, exclusion is definitive and irreversible. So exclusion means that what we exclude now will be excluded forever in the root zone. But the point is, it is difficult determining whether something is excluded or not, because such definitions as you have for Arabic script as it is used for Arabic language, something like, this is a letter, this is not a letter, this is a letter, this is a technical sign. They don't always operate on those levels for other languages, so we cannot really predict what will be used as letter in future. For example, the encoding of Arabic script in Unicode already is complicated. I'm certain there were people who made a good choice and balanced out different opportunities how to encode Arabic script. But, for example, there is a fixed encoding of a letter shape with a dotting pattern. So that is a basic letter shape plus hijam equals one code point. In Arabic-based scripts for other languages, for example, in Africa, this doesn't always work. Also, for example, what they do is they take letters, basic letter shapes, something like wow, and use them as a harakat. So they put them above or under a letter, indicating a secondary articulation of some sort or, well, some other sound, some sound modification. So exclusion, I think, is a very difficult category, because the more we do research on these topics, the more we find out that they have gone away from the idea of Arabic script in some orthographies. And it doesn't really operate within the basic parameters anymore, so to say. But I think in the end, this is also a technical question, and this really depends on the technical point of view concerning what you called root zone security and safety, I think. Thank you.
Excuse me? Can I have a comment?
Yes, please go ahead.
I think I'm going to the idea to have three categories, including, exclusion, and deferral. Because even if we remove the exclusion, there is a limitation from the IDNA protocol, which is the disallowed characters. So we need at least a category that defines this type of information. Also, we have the security consideration that disallows some characters like the harakat in some cases, if we consider exclusion. So I think if we keep it as three categories, it would be suited and understandable for the others. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more comments? We're coming at the top of the hour, so we need to close the call. So I guess based on our discussion today, it seems like we should probably continue discussing some of these points on the email threads. I'll share the meeting notes, brief meeting notes with everybody soon. Any last comments before we close the call? Okay, great. So thank you all for joining the call. We've had Fahad, Abdul Rahman, Samad, Michael, Ahmed, and Tariq. Was there anybody else on the call as well? Okay, great. So thank you very much, and we'll follow up on email. So thank you for joining the call. Bye.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.